We have spoken mainly about praise as far as relationship and attitude. We've talked very little about technique. And I'm not so sure that we need to talk a great deal about technique, but I do want to deal with that to a measure today. But before I do, let me just share a couple of things with you. About a third of my book was written in a few days as I was helping mother care for my dying dad. And I suppose that though very little in the book except a dedication to him as he died in the midst of the writing of it, and Barbara's mother who died in the midst of the writing of it, flavored the book a great deal more than just the dedication. My dad was called to preach when he was a boy. And I think probably to no fault of his own, he was called out of college to care for his family, the death of his father. And my father lived with a regret all of his life and was not an affectionate man. And I never heard him say to my mother, "I love you." He never said to us, "I love you." Don't mistake the fact that I think I had a great dad. I know I did. But there was something missing because, and I don't ever doubt that we were loved. We were cared for. Love is more than words. But I want to tell you, love is words too. It has to be expressed to be full in its orb, in its cycle. And only in those days was I able to say to Dad, in more ways than one, I love you. And it's been very, very difficult for the whole family as we've talked back and forth after Dad's death to break, Gordon MacDonald calls it the loop. You see, with every generation, if there's rejection, there's a loop of rejection. If there is lack of affection, there is another loop, and you don't show affection to your kids, and they want to their kids, and they want to theirs. So it loops, and he calls it breaking the loop and starting a different loop of expression and affection. And in those days, as I interspersed writing with caring for Dad, as he wasted away to virtually nothing, losing a pound a day for probably 50 or 60 days, and just couldn't eat, just starved to death, and just became so weak he couldn't take care of himself, and I shaved him and washed his face and anointed it with oil and was able to say, "I love you." And even after that, it's been a process of breaking the non-expressive, non-affection pattern. And it's been difficult. And I suppose I said that because I know that there are a lot of us here in the same situation. We just need to be expressive to God. And if we can't learn to be expressive enough in private, so when we get in public together to be expressive, folks, they're not going to be many folks inclined to get what we've got, because what they see of Christ is what they see of us in public. And if we're passive and non-expressive and non-affectionate and fearful, then they're going to go to the bar where folks can be free and expressive. And I'm not advocating wildness, you know that, but I'm advocating that somehow we've got to be at home in loving God together. And I know we're going to make mistakes. And I know that sometimes somebody's going to be uncomfortable. But I want to tell you, as I know you know in part what's happening here, as yesterday and today, it just seems that you can hear God easier. Are you finding that? The more he's praised, the closer he gets in manifestation, and you can hear him easier. Have you noticed that this morning and last night? You can just hear him better. And I just encourage you to go on. I've really gotten some words. One thing the Lord told me this morning, I needed to read my book. And do the exercises at the end of the chapter. And go through the suggestions on 30 days to greater praise. And some other things that I'll implement to my benefit and to the glory of God. Let's talk about forms of praise. And you don't have to be threatened. You may not be into some of the forms of praise that the Bible indicates are valid forms of praise. And what I want to do is just give you seven, I suppose you'd call them forms, because they are seven different Hebrew words that are interchangeably translated praise, praise. And I don't know what I was thinking. Up until I began the study, I figured that praise was praise. And there's just one word for praise. There, after all, is one word for praise in our language. But of course, as you're aware of other languages, you're aware that English is a very, very restricted form of communication. It really is. And these words are translated praise in the Old Testament, chiefly in the Psalms. And I think you'll get a little hint as we just look at them. And it will help you to implement them first in your personal praise time. And you can carry this study through. I just want to kick you off on it. Actually, if you have a Young's Concordance or a Strong's Concordance, you'll have to know Hebrew, because it lists these under the Hebrew name, the pronunciation of which you can find in English. So if you can read English, you can do this. And one of the most helpful exercises in praise in the study of the Word is to get you a color code or a number code and just mark the word usage of praise. Well, this is this, and this is this, or this is this. Now, I'm going to list these in the order of usage. In other words, the most used form to the least used form. Now, we're not covering anything but that which is translated praise, and you understand that many verses in the Bible have to do with praise that do not use the word praise all over the Bible, and it's praise. But these are those listed, and I'm just going to make a few comments on them, and perhaps even we'll stop and just do it, okay, if you're comfortable with it. The first is the word you see here is halal, or actually the word halal means to boast, to brag, to laud, to rave. And this is a very remarkable word. It's used about 99 times in the Old Testament. It is the most oft-translated word that is translated praise. The interesting thing about halal is that there are psalms from 104 to 150 that are listed as the Hallelujah Psalms. And if you have any kind of translation, it will note the usages of the word halal in its link up with the name of God. Halal means to boast or laud or rave, The briefened name for God is Yah, J-A-H, Jah, or Yah. And the word that is the most remarkable word in the human language in many ways is a word that has, to my knowledge, not been translated. It has been transliterated. And so the word that we use and sing so often that's such a marvelous word is Hallelujah. Hallel and Yah with a U connecting them. Hallelujah. And that is the exclamatory form of praise. It is used, that form, only 22 times, I believe, in the Old Testament. 4 times in the New Testament. Now, what we mean by transliterated is this. When a word, when it does not give itself to being translated, it retains its original form and is transliterated. The word baptize is a word like that. The word in the Greek is baptizo. They didn't translate it, they transliterated it. And we have baptized, same word, same sound. And so it is with hallelujah. I think that's remarkable. I was in a multilingual group in Canada last year, and I just thought I'd try this out. I thought I knew, and there were missionaries to Germany, and missionaries to Portugal, and missionaries to South America, and missionaries to other places. And I just said, what is hallelujah in German? Well, it's hallelujah. What is hallelujah in Spanish? It's hallelujah. What is hallelujah in Australian? It's hallelujah. And it's a wonderful universal word. Hallelujah. It is just the exclamatory form of praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's a good word. Say it again.
Hallelujah.
And you know, when you're just so filled up, you don't know what to do. Just let off the steam and say hallelujah. It's all right every once in a while to do it, even in church. Just say hallelujah. It's a marvelous word. God loves it. And so the first word is hallel, and of course the lengthened form is hallelujah. 4 times, by the way, in Revelation chapter 19, only 4 times in the New Testament is it used. And the 4 hallelujahs of Revelation 19, you preachers can get a good sermon on that. The 4 movements of God in that last great episode, there is the hallelujah given 4 times, always with a purpose and reason. And you can make a good sermon out of that. Now, what I want you to do is turn with me to a psalm. And the reason I'm asking you to turn to Psalm 63 is that as far as I'm able to determine, I've not found it anywhere else in the Bible, these 7 words for praise are used all on several from 61 to 67. All these words for praise are used. You'll find that one used in Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods, and sing with singing lips my mouth will hallel you, will praise you. That simply means to brag, to boast, to laud. The second most oft used word, translated praise, is the Hebrew word yada. If you're writing it in English, it is Y-A-D-A-H, yada. Let me see where that's found in the framework of these passages. 67, chapter 60, Psalm 67. May the peoples yada you, O Lord. May all the peoples yada you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the people yada you, Lord, O God. May all the peoples yada you. Now, that's not hallel. That's yada. Now, I don't know that this is true, but it sounds that akin to Judah. Now, you're aware that Judah was the 4th child by Jacob and Leah. Jacob woke up after his wedding night with the wrong woman and retained her as his wife, worked 7 years for the next one. 14 years in all four, and their relationship wasn't all that hot, you can imagine. And they had three children, and she named them weird names. But when the fourth child came, she realized that the relationship with Jacob was more than technical. And that was a love and joyfully conceived child, and she called that child Judah, which means praise the Lord. Now, that opens up a whole new realm of study for the study of praise. For everywhere the word Judah is used, it means praise. And you're going to find all kinds of significance in your study of praise when you find out where the tribe of praise camped, remember, around the tabernacle? Remember, Judson talked to us about that. Where was it? The closest to the entering in of the gate. The closest to the gate of thanksgiving. You had to get through the tribe of praise to get into the gate of the courtyard. And who was the first assault troop much of the time? Judah, first assault. This is a paradigm of praise wherever you find it in the Bible, loaded with significance. Now, the word yada, the word yad means hand. Now, I've been trying to find out what is so volatile, what is so incendiary, what is so bothering about the use of the hands. We can't talk without our hands. These, as far as I'm able to determine, as no other part of our body, are expressions of what we're thinking and what we're feeling. Have you noticed? Angry hands clench. They reveal what's going on. Happy hands want to do something, you know. excited hands, you know. And your hands reveal you. Accusative hands want to form into an arrow pointing at somebody. Notice? And entreating hands reach out. And surrendering hands are lifted. And I'm not sure exactly what this term means. It refers to the shooting out of the hands. Not necessarily the raising of the hands. I preached in Wilmore, Kentucky, and got acquainted with the chairman of the Department of Prayer and Spiritual Life at Asbury Seminary, Dr. Tom Carruth. And every time he prayed, if you've ever prayed with him, he prays like this. And I got to watch him. You know, I figure he's expecting a load before he's through. I mean, he's just reaching out to take it. You see, expectant hands reach out. They're going to get something. And I think he did every time he reached out. The shooting out of the hands. And I suppose my attitude really was clinched when, and you knew I'd get around to tell you about my grandbabies, but when my little granddaughter was born over 2.5 years ago, you got to be one to explain it. So no use trying to explain it to anybody that isn't, and it's superfluous to try to explain it to anybody that is. They want to talk back to you and tell you about theirs. You heard about the fellow that got on the plane and he started walking up and down the aisle asking a person by an empty seat, "Are you a grandparent?" And he found one that said no and sat down. The stewardess watched the happenings and talked to him, said, I noticed you were going up and down the aisle asking by empty seats if they were grandparents. He said, yes, that is. She said, would you mind telling me why you did that? He said, well, I've recently become one, and when I talk about it, I don't want anybody to have to take equal time with me telling me about theirs. I don't want any talk back. So you that haven't don't understand it, and you that do want to talk back. But I want to tell you this. It was love at first sight. I mean, it was love before first sight. I loved that hump on my in my daughter's middle. I mean, it's just wonderful. And the day she was just far advanced to all the babies I've ever seen. When she got here, I mean, she was way ahead of everything I'd ever seen. And she began to respond very early. They lived around the corner from us, and it just great. They began to smile, you know, and chuckle. Most babies just have gas pains. My granddaughter smiled, you know. But one day, about three, I guess it was 3 or 4 months, maybe a little older, I don't know, but I went, and she was in her mother's arms, and she saw me, and she held out her hands like this. And I knew what she meant. See, I was able to read granddaddies do that. What she was saying was, you need to take me, because we have a good time, you and I, when you're holding me. I like how I feel when I'm in your arms. So take me as soon as you can. And you know, I did. And I thought, now, you ever feel like that with God? God, I kind of like it when I feel like I'm in your arms. I like how you act toward me, because I think you must really think I'm something. And I just like it when I'm in your arms. And boy, that healed me. You know, I didn't say to that kid, well, are you trying to start a charismatic division in my home? What are you lifting your hands for? Of course I didn't. You know, it's amazing. We Baptists are fun. We ought to laugh at ourselves. You know, we ought to laugh at ourselves. Do you know our problem is we don't like to do anything anybody beat us to? Yeah. See, we don't confess because the Catholics got onto that years ago. We don't kneel because the Episcopalians been doing it for centuries. We don't shout because the Pentecostals do. We don't lift our hands because the Charismatics do. Do you realize that by the time we got here, and we haven't been here always, by the time we got here, it had all been done? And you know what? We've silently drawn the philosophy. Well, there's nothing left for us to do but sit like a nut on a log. And we do that very well, I've noticed. Don't do this because somebody else did. Don't do this because... And we've narrowed ourselves to a little way of acting that is non-expressive and dead. Amen? And now, don't try to go back and promote hand-raising in your church. They may not be into it for years. But let me tell you something. I can testify to this. If in your private prayer time, you could launch out by faith and shut the door real tight, draw the blinds to be sure nobody's watching, and just hide behind the scripture, you know, that says in Psalm 63, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And you know, just try it. Don't try to be a promoter of it. And when you're somewhere where you know they hate it and you will cause a storm if you do it, just sort of, you know. Don't be a problem. Don't be a problem. And you might in your church say, now folk, listen, you need to give folks room to love God their way without condemning them, because if you have a problem with it, you have a problem and you need to get over that. Don't push it, you see. It's interesting. By the way, that word is, of course, not used in that psalm. I read that because it refers to the lifting of the hands. But Psalm 67, 3, 4, and 5 uses it four times. May the peoples yada you. May all the peoples yada you. I guess that sort of includes everybody, doesn't it? May the peoples yada you, verse 5. And may all the peoples yada you. And so it won't hurt you, I guarantee you. It just won't hurt you. But an interesting thing I wanted to relate to you. Remember the story we've told a couple of times about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20? Here is something very, very interesting. When when God orders them after he tells them, now, this is not your battle, it's mine, so you just do what I tell you and I'll take care of you. The Bible says, in chapter 20, this is verse 21, latter part of 21, give thanks to the Lord. That says in the King James, praise the Lord. Now, it's interesting that the word used there is yada. Yada. I don't know why, but if they did what they said, if, in other words, what they were saying took place, took its accord with the body, they went into battle singing like this. Yada the Lord. Praise the Lord, for his mercy is forever. They walked into battle singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy is forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy is forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy is forever. Now, can you imagine the enemy army waiting to ambush them, looking that over? No weapons, just praise. Praise the Lord, for his mercy is forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy is forever. Well, I guess if it was the sign of surrender then, as now, they said, well, goodness gracious, they're giving up already. And little did they know, about the time they got near, the Lord began to ambush them. What had happened? Well, their praise had glorified God and paved the way for deliverance. That's yada, we could go on. But you've got the point. So you know how to halal. Just brag on God. God, you're wonderful. Wow. I'm thrilled with you. I'm pleased to be your child. You're remarkable. You're just grand. Brag on God. That's halal. Now, yada is just, you can do yada without a word. But generally, you can halal and yada at the same time. Isn't that exciting? All right. Now, there is a word that's not used very many times, but as praise, translated P-R-A-I-S-E. But it is translated bless literally hundreds of times, and that's the word barak. Barak. Now, Psalm 104, I will, let's see, barak the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it means to confer an honor or to speak a blessing upon. Now, it is a wonderful thing. It is a profound thought to think, well, I'm coming today to get a blessing from the Lord. But I want to tell you something. It is a profounder thought still to say, I'm going to church today and I'm going to bless the Lord. He's going to be so glad I came to church because I'm going to bless him. You think that's ego? Not at all. Not any more than your child blessing you by saying, Dad or Mom, I sure do love you. My goodness. Isn't that something? I just love you and bless you. I honor you. I brag on you. I bless you. Now, back to where we were in the psalm, you'll find in Psalm 63:4, I will barak you, I will bless you as long as I live. The NIV translates it praise, and I believe the KJV bless. I will bless you as long as I live. I will bless you at all times. And you'll find that all over the Psalms. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless the Lord at all times. And that's literally what it means. I will speak a blessing to God with my lips. It is to bless the Lord. And I want to tell you something. To get a blessing is a blessing. But to be a blessing is a double blessing. A blessing multiplied. And remember that when we come to church, it's not to seek a blessing. It is to bless the Lord. A ministry to the Lord will mean that when God is ministered to, then God can manifest himself all over the place. So you can bless the Lord. I just want to bless you this morning, Lord. Don't have anything to ask you for. Just want to bless you. Just want to tell you I love you, I praise you, I honor you. I just bless you, Lord, with my whole heart. I bless you. And the Lord is blessed. Now the fourth word is the word Tehillah. The Psalms are Tehillims. They are sung songs. And several hundred times, I believe it's 300 times in the Old Testament, we are enjoined to sing. In the New Testament, as Vep read yesterday at mealtime and the question and answers, it is an integral part of teaching when we sing. Listen to this. Don't be drunk with wine. Do you consider that rather important, not to be drunk with wine? Do you consider that being drunk with wine might stunt your spiritual progress and might limit your service in the church? Well, it ought to. But the next thing it says is, be filled with the Spirit. That is, let the Holy Spirit take full control of you. And then it says that the first outcome of that, as indicated there, speaking among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, the fourth word is Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. And you'll find that, I've marked it in yellow in my Bible, Psalm 65:1. Tehillah awaits you, O God in Zion. Singing praise awaits you. Psalm 66, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of His name. Offer Him glory and singing praises, Tehillah. Psalm 66:8. Barak, our God, O peoples, let the sound of His Tehillah be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. You see, that might be translated praise in your particular translation, but you have two forms of praise in the same verse. Barak, our God, let the sound of His singing be heard. That's Tehillah. That's found a good many times. And singing is a very, very vital matter. Those three forms, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we've done all of them here, haven't we? Can you think of a psalm we sing right quick? Yeah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's just do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy. Now, you have Tehillah'd a psalm. You want a Tehillah a hymn? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. What is a spiritual song? It is a song that's neither a psalm or a hymn. That's all it is. And we've sung a bunch of those. Can you think of one? By the way, the scripture says sing a new song unto the Lord, and that's quite scriptural. So this week we've been scriptural, haven't we? Let me see. Let's think of a new one. You just are so good at that's one. I love you, Lord, and lift my voice. Let me teach you a new one. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, praise the Lord. All God's children, praise the Lord. That's a little spiritual song. Doesn't sound too spiritual, does it? You'd be surprised how light spirituality can be sometimes. I left to praise the Lord. We can change it later. I left to praise the Lord. I have to sing it to know it. Forget it and we'll sing it. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, Lord. All my children, praise you, Lord. Let's try it again. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, Lord. I love to praise you, Lord. All God's children, praise the Lord. That's a spiritual song. Psalm sings, you Tehillah.
I mean, you Tehillah good. All right. The next. Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar means generally to pluck the strings of an instrument. I took piano when I was a child, got over it very, very well. But I know enough, and I wondered why when I sat down at the piano and played in a stumbling way. I just got blessed. I got musical instruments of every kind you can think of. I've got an auto harp. Is that one of those things that's flat and you strum it? I like that. I bought one of those little Casio things, you know, that you play just about that long. And I just love to strum. And zamar, generally, is to glorify God by strumming the strings of an instrument or playing an instrument. Do you know you're an instrument? And you ought to sing whether you can or not. It'll just bless God and bless you. That's zamar. 61:8 is zamar. Then will I ever zamar to your name. I will make music to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Zamar. The sixth word is todah. Todah, and always carries with it a note of offered thanksgiving. Offered thanksgiving. In 69:30, chapter 69 of Psalm, verse 30. I will hallow God's name in song and glorify him with todah, with thanksgiving. And that word is often translated praise. And the final word is the word shabak. Shabak. Now that word, guess what that means? Guess what that means? That means to shout. To shout. How many times did you take notes? How many times did Judson say the word shout is, or the command to shout is given in the scripture? The command to shout. And do you know that the Bible says God ascends on shouts of praise? Shouts of praise. There is a time for shouting. And in fact, there are several words, I think six different words in the Hebrew that are connotative of shouting. Shouting. And we probably need to recover this for the Lord. We have it for the devil, of course. We don't mind shouting at football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams, Little League. We don't mind shouting at all for something in the world. It's in church. You don't shout. Right? We need to recover it. We need to recover some of the excitement, you know. I'm really sick and tired of the world getting the best we've got and God getting the dregs, aren't you? We ought to give God our best, and God loves shouts, and you just need to do a study of the scripture on how many times they shout. They shout. 63:3, for instance. 63:3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will shout. That's the word used there. My lips will shout. Listen, your love for me is better than life. Can you imagine for just a minute God's love for you? Did you do anything to deserve it? Well, of course you didn't. You weren't here to do anything. God loved you before you got here. And you don't have to do anything to merit it. God loves you. That love is better than life, better than anything in life. And you ought to get charged up enough to say, well, praise the Lord. Shout.
And so you have in the Hebrew, and we could look into the English or into the Greek, but you have seven basic words for praise. Halal to laud, to boast, to rave. Yada to shoot out the hands. Barak to bless the Lord. Tehillah to sing songs, sing music to the Lord. Zamar to pluck the strings of an instrument. Todah to give thanksgiving to God. And Shabbat to just bless the Lord in a shout. Hallelujah. Try that. Just shout anything to the Lord. Glory is a good word. Praise the Lord is a good word. Hallelujah is a good word. Just any name God has is a good word. Why don't you just think of about three or four, or if you hung up on one, just shout it. All right. Why don't you do that? When I just point to you, you do that. Okay, the whole crowd. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Isn't that embarrassing? Isn't that embarrassing for people to make that kind of noise? Well, that's not bad at all, is it? You see? You see, the more we know about praise, the less we'll have to talk about technique. It'll just do itself. You sing. Hasn't it been wonderful to sing to the Lord?